Good morning. Welcome to all of you gathered here and those who are watching online. A special welcome to anyone who is visiting with us here or online. And again, wherever you are or whoever you're with or whenever you may be watching, you are all very, very welcome in this place. Let us worship God by singing hymn 475, Christ is Coming, Let Creation. Hymn 475. Our call to prayer comes from the words of Zechariah, as recorded in Luke's Gospel. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David. Let us pray. Lord, as we come together in worship this Advent season, refresh our hearts and sustain our spirit with a renewed sense of wonder in your story. You are the God who comes as one of us in order to make your home with us, and for that we are truly grateful. Throughout this season, which is so full of symbolism, tradition, and busyness, help us to approach all that you set before us and all that we encounter with a childlike faith, so that we might recognize your presence and your goodness in all things. And during this season, which is for many so full of memories and even difficulty, help us always to remember that you are Emmanuel, God with us, and help us to know the comfort of your love and to know that you come with a promise of peace. Through our worship today and in all that we do and experience this season, guide us through your Holy Spirit into a deeper and more full understanding of who you are, so that like John the Baptist, we might be a people who prepare the way for your coming in our lives and in the world. Good and gracious God, Though we celebrate your birth and we await your arrival with expectation, we also know that we so often fall short of who you are and short of who you free us to be. You willingly took on flesh to walk with us in our lives, but too often we put up walls in order to keep others at a distance. In Christ, you humbled yourself, taking the form of a helpless child, but too often in our pride, we set ourselves over and above others. You came with the promise of forgiveness and peace, but too often we hold our own forgiveness back and we fail to live at peace with others and at peace within ourselves. God, your word assures us that you are faithful and just, and that when we confess our sins, you forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us to trust in you and to believe that promise. Give us the grace to know your love. Give us the courage to live lives of peace. Give us the faith to receive your forgiveness. As you forgive and welcome us, enable us to forgive and welcome others and ourselves, so that we might live at peace in your unending love. Amen. So quite patience this morning as the season is full of activity. First, I want to run through and highlight just a few of the worship opportunities that are happening this season. Those are all listed in your order of service, but a couple of them just for your notice. This evening at 7 p.m., there will be a service of lessons and carols at Park Church. Gary and I are taking part in this, as well as other members from here and Park and Holyrood Viewfield. So I encourage anyone who is able to come to that wonderful service. And a brass band will be playing as well to accompany the carols. So it should be a very festive and enjoyable evening. This Friday, the 12th of December at 6:30, there will be a Christingle service here in the church, followed by tea and coffee and mince pies and juice and crisps. And if you're wondering what a Christingle service is, you can come Friday and find out along with myself and Gary. Now, this is our first time doing one of these, so we do hope quite a few people will come and enjoy that experience with us. Next Sunday, the 14th of December at 10:30, will be the gift service here at the church. And that will involve, if people are able to bring unwrapped presents for children age 1 to 16, those will be then given to the Salvation Army and distributed for Christmas. Also, out in the community outside of the church, there will be carol services Monday the 15th at Rosalie Court Care Home at 2 p.m., and then at Westerlands Care Home at 3:15 p.m., and then Wednesday, December 17th, there will be a service at Eccles Court at 2 p.m. And then on Sunday, the 21st of December at 3 p.m., there will be a short service and time to reflect here in the church. And that is designed as a way to recognize that this season is not always a season of joy for everyone, that with and even sometimes with the joy comes memories and sadness. So that's a time to recognize the difficulties that do exist for folks, but more so to recognize the goodness and the promise that we hold on to this season. So that'll be Sunday the 21st at 3 p.m. Also, a sincere word of thanks to everyone who supported the Christmas tree festival that's been going on, and to those who worked so very hard at decorating the sanctuary. As you can see, they did a wonderful job. And a special word of thanks goes to Dorothy Walker, who for the planning of the festival and giving so much time to that festival. I'm not sure where Dorothy is. She's in here somewhere, or she might be running around still working to get that things together. But she's been very busy with that and doing a wonderful job. So, and I heard there was quite a crowd. I had to leave a little early yesterday, but there was quite a crowd, I think, at noon for the sandwich, the soup and dessert meal. So it's been a big success. And thank you as well to the members of the Boys Brigade who gave a lot of time and energy to working to make that successful yesterday as well. as part of that tree festival. Following the service today, there will be a further time of fellowship here in the church. The church will remain open until 2 p.m. for people to enjoy the festival as well. And with the church being open after the service, there will also be a time of fellowship with tea, coffee, and home baking being served. So more than just the usual biscuits. So, and also thank you to all of you who so generously did some home baking to provide for the festival. There was quite a selection, and there will be after service as well. So also this week, Sterling Kirk's Together will hold a lunch in Park Church Hall Wednesday at noon, after which there'll be a time of singing some carols. So if you don't get enough carols tonight, come Wednesday at noon. The Tuesday group Christmas lunch will be held in Sterling Golf Club on Tuesday the 16th of December at 12:30. So if you'd like to attend that, please speak to Elaine McKay after service. And then as a result of last week's art exhibition, we saw the painting that was up a few weeks ago, held by Greer Ralston. 1,500 pounds was given to the church as a result of that auction, and that money will be passed on to a charity that was decided by Kirk Session, I believe, to be the Town Break Dementia Support Services. So this has been a wonderful thing by Greer Ralston to donate that painting, and all those resources will be given to support Town Break. So we thank Greer for her kindness and generosity in that. And then lastly, the most exciting announcement that Gary read last week, it's a notice about the adherence roles here in church. Very exciting. But I have to read this out so everyone is aware. The General Assembly of 2025 approved a new act about communion rolls and adherence rolls. The Kirk Session is still required to keep a communion roll, but a new adherence roll also requires to be kept. The adherence roll will have on it the names of people who are regular worshipers, but who are not communicant members of the congregation or any other congregation. So if you are a regular worshiper, but your name is not on the communion roll or of this congregation or any other congregation, and you would like your name to be on this adherence roll, please contact Leslie Asher, the session clerk, who is right here. And his details are also on the intimation sheet. And if you are a regular worshiper who does not have your name on any roll and is not on the adherence roll, trust that that is fine. You are allowed to continue to worship, continue to be part of the congregation, and continue as you are. So again, you are very welcome here. I think that is all the intimations. Did I make it through? All right. So on to Gary.
Thank you very much, Jake. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you, and I'll just echo Jake's word of thanks to everyone involved in making the Christmas Tree Festival such a great success. I believe it's a tree in the church that is known as the Giving Tree. If you find it, you'll discover there are sweets below it, and you're allowed to take a sweet. And I've been told not to worry, because the sweets will be replaced. So there you are. That's something to do, not during the service, folks, but afterwards. But it's lovely to see you all here today. I wonder if any of you have sent a message this morning. It might have been a text message, or a WhatsApp message, or a message through Messenger, or it might have been a voice message. Do you see how with it I am? I wonder, has anyone sent a message this morning to family or friends? Yes, quite a few of you have. Yes, and I've sent a couple myself. We can take it for granted, can't we, sending and receiving messages? It's so easy nowadays, and there's so many different means through which we can send and receive messages. 2,000 years ago, of course, it was quite different. You couldn't lift up a mobile phone or a laptop and write a message and press the send button. That just did not happen. At this time, when we begin to prepare to celebrate again the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, we remember that when God wanted to send a message to his people, he actually sent a person whose task it was to prepare the way for Jesus' coming. Can any of you tell me who that person was?
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist, that's right. John the Baptist was sent by God to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. And John was sometimes mistaken by the people as Jesus, the Messiah. They would say to him, "Now, are you the one who is to come?" And he would say, "No, no, I'm not. I am here to prepare the way." And always John pointed away from himself to the one, to Jesus, the Messiah, who was to come. Now, Isaiah, the prophet who lived many, many centuries before the birth of Jesus, said that Jesus, the Messiah, would be given a number of wonderful titles, and one of them would be Prince of Peace. And that is why today, on this, the second Sunday of Advent, the second candle is known as the Peace Candle. It is the day when we remember and focus on Jesus, who is our peace. Now, I wonder, would someone like to come out and light the second Advent candle? I've done well today by remembering that the candle needs to be lit. Over the years, there's been many a time when I've forgotten that it had to be lit. That's great. Here we go now. How are you? Are you okay? Have you sent any messages today? No? Maybe later on? Right. And so today, we light the peace candle. There you are. Well done. And your turn. That's it. Thank you so much. Can you remember, folks, what the first candle reminds us of? Hope. Well done, you've been listening. So, hope, and today is peace. And as we remember John the Baptist and his role in preparing the way for the coming of our Saviour, we sing the great hymn 279, hymn 279, make way for Christ the King.
first reading is from Isaiah chapter 11, reading verses 1 to 10, and can be found on page 577 of the Pew Bible. Isaiah 11, 1 to 10. Then a branch will grow from the stock of Jesse, and a shoot will spring from his roots. On him the Spirit of the Lord will rest, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and power, a spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And in the fear of the Lord will be his delight. He will not judge by outward appearances or decide a case on hearsay, but with justice he will judge the poor and defend the humble in the land with equity. Like a rod, his verdict will strike the ruthless, and with his word he will slay the wicked. He will wear the belt of justice, and truth will be his girdle. Then the wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion will feed together, and a little child to tend them. The cow and the bear will be friends, and their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like cattle. The infant will play over the cobra's hole, and the young child dance over the viper's nest. There will be neither hurt nor harm in all my holy mountain. For the land will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day, a Zion from the root of Jesse will arrive like a standard to rally the peoples. The nations will resort to him, and his abode will be glorious. The second reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 76 to 79, and can be found on page 49. Luke 1, 76 to 79. And you, my child, will be called prophet of the Most High, for you will be the Lord's forerunner to prepare his way and lead his people to a knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. For the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from heaven will break upon us to shine on those who live in darkness under the shadow of death and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Amen.
We sing together hymn 477, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending.
Thank you.
As I said earlier, on this second Sunday of Advent, we take as our theme that of peace. Last Sunday, as was said, we thought about hope. Next Sunday, we'll think about joy. And the Sunday after that, we'll think about love. But today, we focus our thoughts on peace. And isn't peace something that we all long for? We long for peace in our lives. We long for peace in the world. Peace, that is what we want. It is what we and the world surely need. But alas, it seems, in some measure at least, to elude us. In the story of Christ's birth and life, death, and resurrection, peace is a recurring and dominant theme. During the Last Supper, which we recall today as we gather at the Lord's table, we remember that Jesus imparted to his disciples the gift of peace. He said, "My peace I give to you, not the world's peace, but my peace I give to you." And then on the evening of his resurrection, that glorious Easter evening when he appeared to the disciples in a locked room, what was it he said? First of all, he said, "Peace. Peace be with you." In the ceiling of what is now Campbelltown Parish Church, high above the pulpit, there are the words, "He came and preached peace." So what can we say today about the peace that Jesus gives? Firstly, we can say that because of Jesus, we can have peace with God. And that is a wonderful thing. When John the Baptist was born 3 months before Jesus, John's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he made a prophecy. He spoke about how John would go before Jesus, preparing the way for the one who would bring us peace with God. Hear again what Zechariah said, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, to shine on those who live in darkness, and to guide our feet in the path of peace." What does the Bible tell us? It tells us that our sins had separated us from God and caused a barrier to arise between us. There was a dividing wall, if you like. And for hundreds of years, God's voice was silent. The prophets were not heard. But then Jesus came. And why did he come? To show us God's love. And how did he do that? He died upon the cross. And when he died upon the cross and he cried, "It is finished," that was not a cry of defeat. It was a cry of triumph. He had come and fulfilled all that God had sent him to do. "It is finished." And at that point, the dividing wall was no more. The barrier was removed, so that through faith and the repentance of what John the Baptist spoke, we can enter into a new relationship with God, a relationship that enables us to approach God assured of his love and his mercy. Isaiah put it well. Isaiah's a great prophet. I think probably my favorite prophet. And he put it well. He said, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. That was looking to Jesus. He is our peace. He removes every obstacle between you and me and God. Peace with God. That is a wonderful thing, my dear people. That is a precious thing. Let us never take it for granted. And then secondly, because of Jesus, we can have peace within ourselves. I'm sure you'll agree with me when I say there are times when we find ourselves lacking in our peace. The worries of daily life can disturb the tranquility of our minds and cause us to fret and, on occasion, to be fearful of what the days might bring. I don't know about you, but do any of you have a bucket list? That's a phrase that has sort of crept into our vocabulary in recent years. It's a list of things that we hope to do and achieve before we die. It's nice to be cheery, isn't it? In Luke's Gospel, we read about a man named Simeon, and God had promised Simeon that before he died, he would see the Messiah. And we get the impression that long years having passed, that was the one thing on Simeon's bucket list. And as always, God honored his promise. In his old age, he'd wait a long, long time. And this, of course, is the season of waiting. Simeon had to wait a long, long time. But in his old age, he saw the infant Jesus. And what did he do? He took him in his arms. Isn't that lovely? He took him in his arms. And he praised God, saying, your servant can depart in peace. Peace of heart, peace of mind, peace within. My friends, that we can have today when we take God at his word and believe his promises. Someone put it like this: inner peace hinges on our trust in God. When we put our cares in God's hands, he puts his peace in our hearts. Isn't that wonderful? And you recall what Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And hear this. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. That is a promise to take hold of. Peace with God, peace within. Thirdly and finally, are the American preachers guilty of having 3 points often? Yes. So it's not just a Scottish thing. It's often the case, isn't it? We find 3 points. The hope is we find the right 3 points. Finally, because of Jesus, we can have peace with one another. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, we heard what Sally read. The wolf will lie down with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the kid, the calf, and the lion will feed together, and a little child shall lead them. A little child, not an earthly king or powerful ruler. A little child will lead them. Here is a vision of that day when things will be as God intended in the beginning. Relationships will be restored and there will be perfect harmony. But the good news is, we don't need to wait until some future point for that vision to start to become a reality. We can seek to bring about it now. St. Francis of Assisi put it well, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. I would sing it to you, but I've got a wee tickle in the throat today. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace where there is hatred. Let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there's sadness, joy. One of our roles as the followers of Jesus, as Christian people, is to be peacemakers in the world. But sometimes we need to be peacemakers closer to home, within our family, in the church, in the community. So let us ask ourselves in this Advent season, is there an invitation that needs to be extended to smooth over a fractured relationship? Is there an apology to be made or a silence to be broken that has stood as a barrier for too long? We go through many challenges in this life, and one of the most difficult is to obey Paul's words as they're found in his letter to the Romans. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. The words, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, are significant. While we cannot force another person to be at peace with us, we should never be the cause of discord. And that's not easy to put into practice, because we all have our own opinions. We all like to get our own way. But here we can learn from John the Baptist, for all that he was a strong character, and he was, and he had strong opinions. He certainly did. But he was humble, always humble, in the sense that he pointed beyond himself time and time again to the one who would come after him, the straps of whose sandals he was not worthy to untie. What was it John the Baptist said of Jesus? He must increase. I must decrease. In our present political environment, where divisions widen and anger is so often the currency of public debate, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to be peacemakers and to show that though we are different, each with our own story to tell, there is a greater story by far. The greatest story ever told. The story of the one who came in humility and who will one day come in glory, even the Prince of Peace. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. We sing the communion hymn, hymn 468, Son of God, Eternal Saviour.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and whose load is heavy. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble-hearted, and you will find rest for your souls. This is the Lord's table. He invites all who love him to sit with him and join in this joyful feast. Let us hear the words of the institution of the Lord's Supper according to St. Paul. He writes, "The tradition which I handed on to you came to me from the Lord himself, that on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks to God, broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, 'This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes.'" As the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, I take these elements of bread and wine to be set apart from all common uses to this holy use and mystery. And as he gave thanks and blessed, let us draw near to God to offer him our prayers and our thanksgiving. Let us pray. Holy and ever-present God, we have heard your call and we are glad to gather at your table. In your love, you gave Jesus Christ for the life of the world, and in your grace, you invite us to be part of your family. Therefore, with all your people and with the whole company of heaven, we proclaim your greatness and praise your holy name. Loving God, we give you thanks that you enter our world of conflict with a promise of peace. During this season of Advent, we recall those who waited faithfully for your coming. We remember the prophets and the ancestors of the faith who are well known to us, as well as those countless faithful ones whose names are lost to history but are known to you. We bear in mind those who endured the joys and difficulties of this life, all while believing and holding the promise that you would send a Savior, that you would send your peace. Holy God, we also lift to you those among us and those in the world who live in need of healing or forgiveness or hope. We commend to you those who live in the time of your new covenant but still wait for your coming in so many ways. Reach out to them and all of us in love. Use your church and all your people to be your light, so that all might know your healing peace. Gracious Father, we pray for those broken places in our world, the places where wars persist, the places where families are divided, the places where friendships are broken. During this Advent season, help us to remember that you are Emmanuel, God with us in all places, even and especially in those areas of our lives and of our world that seem at times to be beyond repair. Almighty God, we pray for our families and our friends, for this church community, and for all who celebrate this meal, but in other ways, in other places, and on other shores. Unite us all in your love, that the world may know your peace. And we give thanks for the communion of saints, remembering with love your faithful servants and those dear to us who now rest in you. Keep us in unbroken fellowship with them, and bring us at the last to the joy of your eternal kingdom. Spoken or silent, known or unknown, we bring all of our prayers and our concerns to you, O God. As you entered our world long ago, remind us of your presence, assure us of your promise, and bring us into your everlasting peace. And now, gracious God, may it please you to send down your Holy Spirit to bless us and these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread which we break may be for us the communion of the body of Christ, and the cup of blessing which we bless, the communion of the body of the blood of Christ, that we, receiving them by faith, may be made partakers of his body and blood with all his benefits, to nourish us and help us grow in grace to the glory of your name. And we pray together the prayers that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant which is sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do it in memory of me." The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for the eternal and ever-present love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we prepare to celebrate his birth, we also remember his promise that he will come again in power and glory. May that conviction encourage us in our faith journey and give us the ability to trust you completely, knowing that whatever else may happen, your gracious purpose for us and for the world will be fulfilled. Lord of all, in your great love, bring peace to the world and to each of us, now and always. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Word made flesh. Amen. We sing together our closing hymn, hymn 286, Tell Out My Soul the Greatness of the Lord. Go in the peace of God. Go in the love of Christ. Go in the power of the Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you now and always. Amen.